Assignment, starring Lloyd Burrell as Steve Mitchell. This is a Grace Gibson radio production directed by Lawrence H. Cecil. Be with us again next week, same time, when Steve Mitchell will embark on another dangerous assignment. Baghdad, Martinique, Singapore. At all the places of the world where danger and intrigue walk hand in hand, there you will find Steve Mitchell on another dangerous assignment. Dangerous Assignment, starring Lloyd Burrell as Steve Mitchell.
Danger is my assignment. I get sent to a lot of places I can't even pronounce. They all spell the same thing, though, trouble. But when I walk into the commissioner's office, I don't realize that this assignment's going to teach me that the bait on the hook sometimes catches the fisherman. Morning, Commissioner. You sent for me?
Yes, Steve. It looks like we've finally got a lead on the Bradford report.
Bradford?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you mean Bill Bradford, the foreign correspondent who was murdered in Stockholm the other day?
Yeah. He'd been digging up information on half a dozen European big shots, businessmen. Men he believed had formed a huge international cartel, which in effect would strangle the European economy. And when last we heard from Bradford, he'd finished the report, was sending it on to us.
But we never received it, huh?
No. Naturally, we thought Bradford's murderer had destroyed it.
What's this about a lead we've turned up?
Well, yesterday, our embassy in Copenhagen received a telephone call from Stockholm. The call was from a woman named Christine Wallman. We believe she's found Bradford's report.
Well, that's a break. Why'd she call our embassy in Copenhagen, Denmark, when she's in Sweden?
Nah, she isn't anymore, Steve. The woman sounded frantic. She was afraid for her life. She made a phone call just a few minutes before she boarded a freighter bound for Copenhagen.
I see. I take it I'm supposed to meet her there when she arrives, huh?
Yeah. I've already contacted our embassy, told them you're on your way. Steve, it's vital we recover that report. It names names, describes the activities of this group we're after. This cartel represents a serious threat to European economy and defense, Steve. And therefore, to us. It's got to be broken up. Well, that's all. You've got your assignment. Good luck.
Assignment. Fly to Copenhagen and meet a freighter en route from Stockholm. Contact one of the passengers, a woman named Christine Wallman, and pick up a report containing detailed information on the activities of an international cartel. It's late Wednesday afternoon when my plane sets down in the Danish capital. I head straight to our embassy and talk with Jim Fallon of the staff.
Freighter's called the Osterlund, Steve. She's due to dock around 8 tonight.
You let me have an embassy car?
Well, yes, but...
I want to show up at the dock with official trimmings.
I was thinking maybe you'd rather go about this quietly.
Well, ordinarily, yeah, but if this Miss Wallman is on the spot because of that little hunk of dynamite she's carrying around...
Oh, I see. You want to take the pressure off her, huh?
Yeah, right. Maybe someone else waiting at the dock for her. Someone who'd like to get his hands on that report.
Bradford's murderer, probably. So you make it quite evident she no longer has the report. You take her off the hook, put yourself on.
Right. Could be the best chance of nailing the killer.
I'd better go with you, Steve. Could be dangerous.
Thanks, but I'd rather go it alone.
All right, Steve. It's your...
Funeral? I hope not, Jim. But if I'm wrong, you can have my golf clubs. It's a few minutes before 8 that night when I pull up at the docks. The freighter Osterlund is already tied up. Her cargo is being unloaded. I get out of the car, start down the pier toward the gangway.
Look out!
I dive headfirst into the open warehouse door as a half dozen packing crates crash on the dock just a few feet away.
You're not hurt, mister?
No. All right.
The crane cable must have broken. You're lucky you...
Where's the crane operator?
A shack over there. I don't see him. Look. There he is on the floor.
Yeah.
Niels.
Oh, he's all right. Somebody slugged him.
I get the doctor. Hey, mister, where are you going?
I don't have time to answer that one because I spot a shadow moving quickly across the warehouse. I take off on the double. I circle the warehouse, come around to the dock on the other side, and then as I round the corner...
Hold it, Buster!
Take it easy, Steve.
Well, Jim Fallon.
Afraid he got away from me. I spotted him ducking out of the shack, took after him, but he got past me.
What are you doing around here, Jim? I thought I told you to keep...
I know, but I thought it wouldn't do any harm to keep an eye on things as long as I stayed out of sight. If I hadn't yelled, I might have inherited those golf clubs of yours, Steve.
Oh, you're the one who cried out, huh?
Yeah. I happened to notice that haul of crates moving overhead, and then it stopped. Like I was waiting for you to reach the gangway. I saw the first crate topple, and I yelled.
Well, thanks. Well, I better get on board and see Miss Woolman. See you later, Jim.
Yes? Who is it?
Steve Mitchell. They told me this was your stateroom, Miss Woolman.
You have identification?
Yeah. I'll slide it under the door. There. Well?
Come in, Mr. Mitchell. Oh, you don't know how happy I am to see you.
Things getting a little rough?
A little? That's putting it mildly. Here, I'll be obliged if you'll take this off my hands. I never knew two sheets of typewritten paper could cause so much trouble.
Thanks. Yeah, this is the report we've been looking for. But, wait a minute. Where's the rest of it?
Well, that's all I've ever seen.
Oh, fine. The way it's written up, this half's no good without the other half. How'd you get this?
It was found in the corridor outside my hotel room in Stockholm 2 nights ago by a friend of mine.
Huh?
His name's Michael Doran, an artist. I met him while I was holidaying in Sweden. He doesn't read English, and since he found it just outside my door, he thought the papers might belong to me.
Go on.
Well, I couldn't make much sense of the papers, so I tossed them in the wastebasket. Michael and I went out to dinner, and when we got back to my hotel room sometime later...
The place was in a shambles, huh?
Yes. Well, it didn't dawn on me that the papers had anything to do with it, not until the next morning. I read in the newspaper something about an investigation of a correspondent's murder. His name was Bradford, and I remember I'd seen the name on the last page of that letter, or whatever it is.
I see.
I fished the papers out of the wastebasket, stuck them in my purse, and checked out of the hotel. On the way to the boat, my cab driver started acting funny, and I noticed he was not taking the right route. We hit a traffic jam, and he was forced to stop. I got out fast, ran.
Is that when you made your phone call to the embassy here in Copenhagen?
Yes.
This friend of yours, the man who found the papers, how old do you know him?
Michael? Oh, I met him a few months ago. He was very nice. Why?
Well, that yarn of his about finding the papers in the hotel corridor.
You don't believe it?
could have happened that way, but it just seems a little strange, that's all.
What are you driving at, Mr. Mitchell?
Oh, nothing in particular. He's still in Stockholm?
I suppose so. Look, would you mind telling me what this is all about? Why all the fuss over a couple of sheets of paper?
Very important sheets of paper, Christine. The missing half of this report is just as important. Whoever has that half is responsible for what's been happening to you, that's for sure.
I see. Well, little Christine is out of this mess now, and I couldn't be happier.
I understand this freighter is moving on up to Oslo tonight. Are you staying aboard or getting off here in Copenhagen?
Copenhagen for me. I don't think I could stand another day aboard this ship.
Well, if you could stand another 15 minutes, I'll buy you a drink.
15 minutes I could stand.
Christine and I go down to the saloon, and after her second brandy and soda, she decides she'd better have her things taken ashore. We say our goodbyes, and I head for the purser's cabin, where I make an interesting discovery. A few minutes after 11 that night, the freighter Osterlund pulls out into the channel, and I'm still aboard. So is Miss Christine Wallman. Hello, Christine.
What? Steve.
I decided a sea voyage would do me good. Didn't expect to find you on board.
I changed my mind.
A woman's privilege. Nothing like sea air, huh?
I thought you had pressing business back in Copenhagen. I mean, regarding this person who has the other half of that report you're so interested in. Why aren't you after him?
I don't have to go after him. I'm going to let him come to me.
Understand.
You said someone tried to get into your cabin this morning.
Yes, that's right. Oh. You mean you think this person is still on the ship?
Yeah, and he must know now that I have the paper. You don't have to worry.
Very comforting thought, Steve. It just startled me, that's all. I'm sorry.
I'm not.
You can... Let me go now. I really don't think I'll fall overboard.
Never can tell. Sea might get a little rough.
Yes, I suppose.
Excuse me, Mr. Mitchell.
Yes, steward, what is it?
A radio message, sir, for you.
Oh, thanks. Here you are.
Thank you, sir.
Excuse me, Christine. The message is an answer to one I sent our embassy in Stockholm earlier. There's a brief report on Christine Wallman, formerly Christine Hansen, married in Stockholm 3 months ago to Gustav Wallman. No trace of boyfriend Michael Thorne. Is the suggestion I contact the embassy back in Copenhagen, get further information from someone there who knew girl personally, someone who had once been engaged to her. The name jumps up at me from the typewritten page. Jim Fallon.
Now, back to Dangerous Assignment and Steve Mitchell.
Now, all of a sudden, there's a new element in the world. Jim Fallon, who used to know Christine. Where does he fit in? Or does he? Maybe it's just a coincidence. It could be he didn't know this was the same Christine. The last name was different then. One thing I'm pretty sure of, the story, at least part of it, sounds phony to me. She seems to be pretty smart, which means I'd better keep her in my sights. I drop into the captain's cabin and then go down to my stateroom, but just as I reach the door, it opens.
Oh.
Looking for something, Buster?
Why, no. I went into the wrong stateroom by mistake.
Huh?
Yes, I realized my mistake at once and came back out just now. I'm very sorry. My name is Emil Vastavik. You see, my stateroom is next door. It was a natural mistake.
Of course.
Please accept again my apologies. Is something the matter? You do not seem to believe me.
Any reason why I shouldn't?
Oh, of course not. I tell you, perhaps if I could have the opportunity of buying you a drink, we might consider the incident closed.
Right. That's a deal.
Ah, the woman of my dreams.
What?
See, the girl who just entered the lounge.
Christine?
You know her.
Slightly. You a friend of hers?
I would like to be. But unfortunately, she does not seem interested.
Did you know her before the boat trip?
I regret to say I did not. Perhaps if you know her, as you say, you could arrange a proper introduction for me.
Yeah, maybe I could, Emil.
I beg your pardon.
Yeah?
I could not help overhearing your conversation.
What about it?
You are a much traveled man, are you not?
I suppose you could say I am.
I always like to listen to voices, to learn what I can about people, where they were born, where they have lived.
If you do not mind, Mr.
My name is Bergdahl.
You see, Mr. Bergdahl, Mr. Mitchell and I were talking about a subject of mutual interest.
Oh, I see. I hope I am not intruding.
No, not at all. Have a seat, Mr. Bergdahl.
Thank you.
In that case, Mr. Mitchell, I think we had better continue our conversation later.
Suit yourself, Emil.
Perhaps later this evening.
You two know each other, Mr. Bergdahl? He didn't seem very happy to see you.
No. He may suspect who I am, Mr. Mitchell.
Who are you?
Here, my credentials.
An investigator for the steamship line, huh?
Yes.
So why should this make this Emil Vastavik unhappy?
Well, lately there have been several card sharks at work on our boats, preying on the passengers.
Hey, wait a minute. Emil is one of them?
I believe so. But, of course, one cannot act without proof. I thought it best to warn you about him, however.
Thanks. Maybe you went into my cabin to see if I had any loose change hanging around.
It is always best to keep any valuables you may have in the ship safe, Mr. Mitchell.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the tip about Vastavik, Mr. Bergdahl. I walk out on the deck and light a cigarette. I'm getting nowhere fast. My number one suspect turns out to be just a card shark and petty thief. I'm pretty sure the killer is aboard ship. There are 15 passengers. Looks as though I'll just have to wait until he makes his move. And then all of a sudden I realize I might not have to wait very long. I spot a shadow across the deck near a lifeboat. I start circling quietly toward it. That's my big mistake. I hear a sound behind me, but before I can turn, something awfully hard connects with the back of my head. I drop to my knees, groggy. Somebody starts giving me a fast frisk. Then I hear someone running toward me. The guy behind me takes off.
What's the matter? What happened?
Stewart. Let me help you up, sir.
Oh, thanks.
You're the man I spotted a moment ago standing by the lifeboat?
Why, yes. I was getting a breath of air. I heard the noise.
Hey, there he goes.
Is that the man who hit you?
Must be.
Do you know him?
I don't know. Didn't get a look at it.
There he goes. Down that hatch.
Yeah, where does it lead?
The engine room.
Oh, great. Any other hatches leading out?
Several.
Oh, we'll have to take a chance here.
Can you see him?
No, a little too dark.
What's up? What was that?
A wrench. He's down at the end of that catwalk.
He's out of sight now.
Yeah. Maybe when we get around the corner here.
See him anywhere?
No, not a sign of him. Looks like he's given us a slip. Climb back up on deck. The steward starts aft. I give him a little lead and then I follow him. I still want to know why he happened to be on deck at the moment I got slugged. and what he was doing near that lifeboat. He heads straight for the lifeboat and pulls something out from under the top. He starts back along the deck toward me. I duck into the shadows. He passes close enough so I can see what he's got under his arm. A ham. Great. He's been swiping food from the galley. Another lead up in smoke. I'll go back to my stateroom. It's torn up. I put it back together. Nothing happens the rest of the night, which doesn't surprise me. Whoever slugged and searched me must realize by now that my half of Bradford's report is in the ship's safe. Next day, just before we dock, I drop by the captain's cabin and have a little chat with him. Out on deck, I put the envelope into my pocket in full view of the other passengers, and I go down the gangway to the dock.
Mr. Mitchell! Mr. Mitchell! You remember me, Emil Vastovic?
Yeah.
I have not had an opportunity to continue our conversation of last evening. I thought perhaps if you had no other plans, we could share a taxi cab for the hotel.
You're really anxious to meet Christine, aren't you?
But of course.
Oh, wait a minute. There she is over there. I'll see if I can arrange it.
I would greatly appreciate it.
Christine!
Found out who has that other half yet?
Not yet.
I should think you'd be checking the other passengers.
I have been. Like to share a cab to the hotel?
Oh, well, thanks, but I'm in rather a hurry and
it shouldn't take us long to get there.
Well, really, I...
Besides, there's a fan of yours who wants me to introduce him to you.
All right. I tell you, wait here for me. I have to go see about my baggage. I'll only be a minute.
She disappears around the corner of the warehouse. My father. Goes right by the baggage shed and on down the pier. So far, everything's going according to schedule and just the way I planned it. She goes into a long shed at the end of the pier, storage warehouse for the fishing fleet. I walk slowly up to it and ease inside. It's dark. I know I'm heading into trouble, but I'm hoping my hunch is right. If it is, I've got my killer. If it isn't, I'm a dead duck.
Stop where you are.
Well, well. Bergdahl, the phony ship's detective.
Yes. I followed you inside. My gun is in your back.
Oh, don't worry. I can feel it. You gave me that routine about keeping valuables in the ship safe to try to smoke me out. To see if that's where I'd put the papers.
You were very non-committal. However, just before docking, I saw you get your envelope from the captain.
You killed Bradford to get the report. Who hired you? The gents whose names were on the list?
Originally, yes. My job was to destroy it. Unfortunately, I was able to recover only half of the report.
Yeah, Bradford was playing it cagey.
Then it occurred to me I could make much more money by not destroying it.
Blackmail?
I realized the girl must have got the other half. I went after her. She became frightened and notified your authorities. To get me off her neck.
Don't be too sure of that, Bergdahl.
What do you mean?
I think Christine played this whole deal real sharp.
I do not follow.
I think she knew I wouldn't swallow her story. She rigged it that way.
What are you talking about?
She wanted me to keep an eye on her, to follow her, because she knew whoever had the other half would be following me. You see, I think her angle is blackmail, too.
Oh, that's your stupid talk.
She probably copied her half before she gave it to me, but she needed your half, too. She thought this was the best way of getting it.
What?
And she was right. You followed me in here just now to get my half. You didn't see the person I followed, did you?
The girl?
Yeah. I've got an idea. She's somewhere around in the dark right now holding a gun on you.
You're bluffing.
No, he's not.
What?
Stop your gun, Bergdahl. Stop it. That's better. Well, Steve, I see you had it all worked out.
Pretty much so.
Too bad your cleverness is not sufficient to save your own life.
Yeah. One thing puzzles me.
What's that?
Jim Fallon, attached to our embassy. Our investigation of you showed that he used to be pretty friendly with you.
Oh, I used to go with Jim. It sometimes proved profitable to know the right people. I've made a lot of money off the information I picked up that way. But Jim was a losing proposition. I could never get any information out of him, so I gave it up. Bergdahl, you're half of the report. Let's have it.
I haven't got it with me.
You're lying. You're working alone, double-crossing the outfit that hired you. There's no one else you can trust. Let's have it.
I hid it.
You better find it fast by the count of three. One.
I tell you what.
Two.
Wait.
Did you find it?
Yes. Yes, it's in my shoe.
Hand it over. Right now.
Bergdahl bends over and starts untying his shoe. I know I've got to do something soon. The second Christine gets that missing half, Bergdahl and I are dead. Suddenly, he grabs at his gun on the floor. Christine spots it and lets him have one. I dive at her as Bergdahl tumbles. Before she can pull the trigger again, I twist the gun out of her hand.
Let go!
I'll take it! Thanks.
You...
Well, what do you know? Bergdahl was telling the truth. Here's the other half of the report. Well, that cartel isn't going to get very far.
Steve, you've got both halves of that report now. Could be worth a lot of money to you. To us.
Sorry, lady. I don't have both halves.
What? But Bergdahl and I both saw you pick up an envelope from the captain.
Yeah, an empty one. The other half is still in the safe.
What?
You've been using me as bait all through the deal, Christine. So I decided to go fishing, too. It's probably the only time in history anyone's caught two fish using an empty envelope for a hook.
Starring Lloyd Burrell as Steve Mitchell. This is a Grace Gibson radio production directed by Lawrence H. Cecil. Be with us again next week, same time, when Steve Mitchell will embark on another dangerous assignment.